So today we have Maria, Sue, and Helen, and each of them are just going to introduce themselves and then we'll go through some questions. Maria, do you want to go first?
Yeah, so I've been working with VA since December 2021 now. So,
Wow.
yeah. So that's me.
Okie
So I've been a virtual assistant since 1999, and I've been, working with VA since November of 2021. So, and I do a plethora of things. I have a lot of different varied tasks that I do for clients, and then I do some of the back office things for vi virtual administration as well. So I have a varied work month.
Fantastic, wonderful, thank you. And Helen.
Hello, I've been the company again since 2021. It seems to be a running theme, doesn't it? But I've actually been a VA for around 14 years now, I think it is.
Wow.
Quite varied on the workload, have several different clients and also do a little bit of work for virtual admin.
Fantastic, wonderful. So, my first question I'm going to ask is, how many clients do you support at the moment? I know whoever wants to go first.
I currently work for two case management companies, but several of the case managers within them.
Okay, Helen, thanks.
So I've got a case manager, an OT company, a physio, and a charity that I will support. So I've got quite a mix.
And the charity is a brain injury charity, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you. So, who do you work for?
So I have about 12 or 13 different companies that I work with. I'm mostly working with case managers, and I do have a couple of occupational therapy people that I'm working with. I do a variety of tasks for them, such as they're filing their Q-note emails. I do research for them, and I do invoicing among like other things for them, attending meetings and taking notes at meetings. That's a lot of what I do.
Fantastic, thank you. So, all of you, when you take on a new client, what do you tend to do first? What kind of questions do you like to ask them when you take on somebody brand new?
Think probably the first question would be what they would like support with, and try and create a little pro. Well, that's what I do. I try and create a little profile, have a really good friendly chat, and try and ascertain their needs really. And then it would be task specific questions, I think, once we got the answer to those. So if it was Q-note that they needed help with, we'd probably ask them how they file. Maybe do a demo with them just to check that everything was how they'd like it to be.
Great, thanks, Helen. Anybody else want to chip in?
I do similar. I'll contact them and I'll ask them what their needs are, what they're looking for, if there's anything in specific that I can do for them. And then I also will sometimes, if they haven't said certain things, I'll offer things such as proofreading their reports, formatting. If they're mostly just looking for somebody for taking minutes at meetings, then I'll just say I will offer the other kind of side of things as well for them. So, and then I just say if there's anything at all that you need, that you just run it by me, and I'm happy to take it on.
Yep, same. Yeah, same. I always have a call or a video call or whatever with them and go through what they've thought of, and then say these are the other things we can do, or I do, and then sometimes they'll be like, oh, actually, yeah, that's something I could hand over, or sometimes it comes in time where they'll think of it down the road and go, do you do this or can you do this? And then so it can kind of just evolve. It just depends really on the client.
Yeah, that makes an awful lot of sense. The evolving side, that definitely makes an awful lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely, it does. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So does it take you long to understand and figure out, you know, how the client runs the business and what help they want?
Client is different. Some know exactly what they want, exactly how they want it. And that's great because that's really easy to just get on board and do. Some need help, some want your help and input into how they want things done because they might not know at all, or they might want you to help them streamline and be more efficient so you can help, advise and help them. So it is really working with them and understanding, almost, working as a team to work out what are the best ways to do things, really, I think, because every client is different, especially if they're on their own or in a team, or, it really depends on the clients.
Anybody else want to add anything to that one?
I'd agree with Maria. It's very much like that. You really just have to get to know them and find out how they're working. And I think often once you start working with them, and if you're having regular conversations, you get to know them more and you get to understand more. It's a gradual process often.
Yeah. I agree as well, and sometimes things just kind of fall into my lap from them because they have a need and they're overwhelmed a lot when they come to us. They're very overwhelmed, and there can be a bit of hand holding to and teasing to get things out of them because they're in some cases they're reluctant to hand things over because they're scared that nobody else will do it just like they will do it. And
I'd agree. I think a lot of it is building trust, isn't it? So that they feel able to be able to hand over.
Brilliant. I really like that response. That's great. So can you give me a description of how often you communicate with your clients, you know, as in receiving emails, phone calls, text messages, all that kind of stuff?
I think that really depends on the client. I've got some clients that I probably speak to daily, maybe. And it depends how they like to communicate. Some like to email, some like to WhatsApp, some like to have a chat. So I have one of my clients I do have a weekly call with, so we can discuss anything and they can give me their priorities for the week. So again, it's quite variable, but I do like to communicate with them. And also ask them if everything's okay and if anything else needs doing.
Anybody else?
I have one person I do things for, and I won't hear from her for several days, and then suddenly there's like 15 emails of things that need doing, and then other people are there's not really a whole lot of a need for communication between us because I'm just going in and filing their Qnote emails, for example. So I will communicate with them and let them know when I've cleared their queue for and when we're especially when it's a month end, and they won't because they can't run the invoice until they can't run the invoice until all of their emails have been filed and file notes created and everything. So at that point, I tend to let them know. But I wait for them to come to me if they need things because they know what their needs are when they need some help and whatnot. Other times, I'm more proactive in going and asking if they need any help. It just depends on what my schedule is at the time. But again, the relationship is very different. It's either emails, WhatsApp. Very rarely on the phone, I get phone calls. Like yesterday, I had a phone call from somebody asking me if I could create a Google account, excuse me, a Google calendar. And that was just to share so that the therapists and everybody can upload appointments to it. And then the client who with the brain injury can keep track of her appointments, and her parents can as well. So now they're adding everything into that Google calendar.
It's a great example. That's so brilliant. It's such a great example. So, what is your favorite part of the work that you do? Tell me, all of you.
When I get my Q notes queued down to zero, when I I log into everybody, you know, this morning I went round the houses and went into everybody's QNote. And of course, QNote is acting up today.
Yes.
And it chucked me out. But yeah, when I get everybody's email queue down to zero.
That is a great sense of satisfaction. I would agree.
Yes.
But I think for me, if you thought about it generally rather than individual tasks, I think it's the flexibility and the variety of the work is the most attractive. I mean, one day you can be researching a holiday for somebody, and then, you know, the next you can be transcribing a meeting. So I do enjoy the variety of different tasks. And working with the case managers, because they all tend to be rather nice people. So the people that we work with are generally rather lovely.
Yeah, agreed.
I agree with the flexibility as well, because, I mean, you know, I can get up and work at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning if I choose to, or I can work, I can take a day off and make the time up another time, you know what I mean, to get the tasks done. Mm-hmm. And I can set my own hours that way. I mean, obviously, we do need to be available during regular business hours. But if I have to go and do something, it's not that critical. If I have like a dental appointment or something like that, I can go out and have my dental appointment and come back and deal with whatever has come in while I've been out. So, but it's that flexibility and that I really appreciate. So I can set my hours to suit me rather than being tied to, you know, going into the office. That's another thing I like, is working from home. I'm not having to commute. I don't have to sit in traffic. I don't have to buy a train ticket. I don't have to put petrol in the car to go to work. I just need to get in front of my laptop, turn it on, and away I go. So it's all really flexible and convenient.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the clients work the same way, don't they? So it works for everybody. As long as you keep in communication with each other, it all works well.
Brilliant. Okay, so on the other side, what do you find most tedious and time-consuming?
I'd probably say I'm not a huge fan of transcriptions. I do them, but I wouldn't like to do any more of them. Mostly because I find that they take a huge chunk of time out of my day and I can't concentrate on the other things that I need to do. So that would be probably my least favourite. I don't hate them, but that would probably be my least favourite.
Yeah, I would agree. I feel like, you know, verbatim transcriptions are, because, yes. You know, you're minimum of 4 or 5 times the length of the audio that you're transcribing. You're tied to that file. So it's you know, you're having to make sure that you get up and take lots of stretch breaks. It can take your whole day to do like a 1 hour file, because, and I'm talking about getting up and going and doing something, you know, and then coming back and then working on it again, you know. So you might start it at 9 o'clock in the morning, but by the time you actually finish it, with including all of your breaks and things like that, it could be 5 or 6 in the evening. And that can be quite difficult. Obviously, you're not billing for all of that, all of the breaks. But it's the, you know, that's something that has to be made clear, is that you can't bill for the breaks. It's the time that you're actually physically working on the task. So, yeah. Or when you get, you're in the middle of something and you're trying to concentrate, and then you've got somebody calling you with a really urgent thing. And when you listen to what their really urgent thing is, it's not urgent. It can wait. It's urgent to them,
yeah,
but in your list of priorities, it's not really that critical. It can wait an extra 15 or 20 minutes while you finish off the task that you're doing. But that, you know, so it can be a juggling act.
Okay, thank you. So I know you all work for case management companies, and I'm guessing some of them have got kind of like teams of associate case managers. Do you end up supporting them as well, you know, as part of a team, or is it just the case manager that's, you know, that you're supporting directly?
No, absolutely. It expands all the time. You start with one person and then you end up, you become part, if they have a team, you almost become part of that team.
Yeah.
So you work with everybody, and, you know, you're you're supporting everybody as well, and you become sort of like a central person for everybody, which is great. That's really nice.
Yeah. Like in the case of one of the companies, I do minute meetings. Like when I attend their meetings, that's pretty much all that I do for them. I attend their meetings and we just get random emails from either a case manager, an assistant case manager. It depends on who's looking after that particular client's case for them, for the case management company, I mean. And so, yeah. And I mean, in a couple of companies, I've actually been put on their website.
Being
part of the team.
Yeah.
So my picture's on their website.
But it's also really great to feel part of their team.
Yes. Mm.
It's a nice relationship.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah,
definitely.
Okay, then. So apart from the actual case managers and therapists that you support, what other people are you likely to liaise with? You know, for example, I don't know, dealing with inquiries from solicitors, or, you know, who else are you likely to come into contact with?
Definitely the solicitors, the MDT team as well.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the therapists that are involved with a client. I've also been involved with the client, actually. There's one person that I do reminder calls for appointments for. So when he has a dental appointment, obviously because his memory might not be great, that I do a reminder service for him to attend. So pretty much, I think, quite a variety of people that the case managers deal with, we probably deal with as well. Suppliers, you know, equipment suppliers, it can be extremely varied.
Yeah, I'm doing that. I'm contacting GPs. You know, I've done research where I've had to, in one particular case, the client has diabetes. And so, as you know, with diabetes, you can have complications with circulation in the feet. So I was contacting different podiatrists to get quotes to pass on to the deputy for approval for this client. And I get the emails every time that the client books an appointment, for because he has regular podiatry appointments to keep an eye on his feet. So, and equipment reps, I'm constantly making appointments with equipment reps and trying to juggle that with the client diary and then the therapist diary and whoever else needs to be at the appointment. And then, I mean, I even had this situation where I contacted an equipment person and they said, well, I have to be clinically trained and qualified in order to place an order. So I had to go back and say, I'm really sorry, but I can't place this order for you. You're going to have to do it yourself. Because he specifically said, I need to be clinically trained. And then, so, you know, so sometimes I get really odd requests like that. Oh, council, the local council, social services. I've spoken to social service, occupational therapists. I've spoken to social workers. And like the client, when the case manager went away on holiday, I was in charge of the staff rota for support workers. So I was having to deal with the client as well as the care agency. Yeah.
It really is massively varied, isn't it? What about you, Maria? What's it like on your front?
So I've done hydrotherapy pools, trying to source hydrotherapy pools when one closed. On the charity side, we do events. So it's obviously booking venues, sourcing different suppliers for different things we need for the events. What else? Yeah. Again, I have contact with the clients, if case managers, and on the OT side, with the OT company, they have associate OTs like the case managers. So I help them with the systems if they get stuck with their systems. So. Yeah, again, it's very varied on all sides.
Fabulous. I mean, last question for all of you. So amongst all the clients that you work with, you must have one that makes you laugh, really, really laugh, and one that you speak to on a daily basis. Come on, tell me some of the really good, fun stuff.
Well, Tracy, it's normally you that make me laugh.
Yeah.
But I think they all generally have quite a good sense of humour. I try to think of some funny things that happen. They're all really nice. They're just so nice to deal with. They're very positive, very supportive, very understanding. And I'll come back to you when I think of a certain story that was quite hilarious, but it is normally you, Tracy, that ends up tickling me.
That's good.
We won't go into those stories
I don't really have, I mean, I've got funny stories, but now I can laugh about them, but at the mo in the moment, they're not really funny. Like, for example, my latest expression is looking for unicorns. I'm tasked with trying to find something that doesn't exist. So, and I had I was asked to get an email address for a local council in the council tax department. So I contacted the council tax department and listened to 5 million different variations of what number I could press to speak to somebody and never got through to anybody. It was just after I pressed all the buttons that I needed to press, I was told that I had to call back later. So I disconnect, and then I tried a different department in the council, their customer service, and got through to somebody. And I was categorically told that that council tax department no longer has an email inbox. They closed it. And the client came back to me and was insistent that I must get an email address. And I said, but I can't because I don't have anybody's name who works in the council tax department. So therefore I can't email it to them. And I suggested that they post it. They post the letter in an and put it in an envelope and put a stamp on the envelope and send it off. No, it must be an email address. But the problem is the council have moved to an online account where you have to go and submit everything via a form. And she said, well, what about the complaints department? And I looked and the complaints department has the same online form. Okay. The next day, I get asked to contact the district nurse. The same client asked me to contact the district nurse and get an email address. Same thing happened again. And I just burst out laughing and hung up. As soon as the district nurse said, oh, we don't have an email address that we can give you. We don't have an inbox. I went, okay. And she starts trying to explain things to me. And I just started laughing because by this point, I was so fed up of trying to get email addresses that don't exist. I
Yeah.
just put the phone down.
Oh, yeah.
So, those are my unicorns.
Okay. Okay. Maria, come on, you've got ones that make you laugh that you speak to on a daily basis.
My client that we speak to daily, we have like a WhatsApp that we talk. We every morning we greet each other and we send each other funny gifts and things. But in a way of not being swear not swearing, she uses alternate words. So people are called turnips, and then and then there's things like her giddy aunt's toenails, and what are the other ones she uses? Everything's a kerfuffleation, and she's just got all these amazing, brilliant words that are now in our vocabulary that we use to refer to things, and we refer to people when things are maybe not going so well or they've done things that not how they should be. And
Oh, I love that. That's fantastic.
it's just hilarious because she said she developed it in her old office when she was such a swearer and people didn't appreciate it, and she's just carried it on. So we've all started using them now, and it's just we just have such a laugh because we'll send each other pictures of a turnip if somebody's done something, or
You send pictures of toenails.
yeah. So yeah, it's great. We have a giggle about things. So it's just lovely, and it's like being part of the team. It really is. So it's great.
Oh, fantastic. And what about the people at the brain injury charity, Silver Lining?
They are so inspiring to meet them, the people that the charity are supporting. They are It's just such a joy to be a part of, because they, when you meet them, they're so positive and they're so inspiring. And, you know, for everything they've been through, whatever reason they've got their brain injury and whatever level of difficulty they're living with, they're all so happy and so positive. And the friendships they've made and the way they all support each other, it's just great. And you know, they have a WhatsApp for each area, and then they have a WhatsApp for each different activity group. And they just every day they greet each other and they chat and they send each other well wishes. And it's just lovely. It's a lovely thing to be a part of, and to know that you're supporting these people that, you know, maybe in other ways wouldn't have that support. So it's lovely.
Well, that sounds really rewarding.
Yeah, it really is.
I think that's absolutely amazing. That's a lovely way to bring this to a close on a really positive, lovely feeling note.